I knew that look. I'd seen it on Adrian's face a couple hours ago.
Dimka, not you too,
she said. Through Lissa's eyes, I watched the colors of Tasha's aura shift, burn a little brighter as she gazed at Dimitri. I could see exactly what Sonya had explained to me, how the aura showed affection. And that's why I took the fall, I murmured softly. No one but Dimitri and our guardians heard me.
Hmm?
Dimitri asked. I just shook my head. All this time, Tasha had still loved Dimitri. I knew she had last year, when she'd made him an offer to hook up and have kids. Not something a lot of Dampier men had the chance to get. He'd refused, and I thought she had accepted simply being friends with him. She hadn't. She'd still loved him. When Lissa had revealed my relationship with Dimitri the Hans, Tasha had already known. But for how long? I wasn't sure. She'd obviously known about the relationship before killing Tatiana. And putting the murder on me left Tasha free and clear, and opened back up her chances with Dimitri. There was no point in bringing up her personal motives for blaming me. Tatiana's murder was the real issue at stake. I just looked at Hans.
You can take me into custody. I meant it. But don't you think you've got enough to take her and Ethan in, too?
Hans's face was unreadable. His feelings toward me had always gone back and forth since the day we met. Sometimes I was a troublemaker without a future. Other times I had the potential to be a leader. He'd believed I was a murderer, yet he'd still allowed me to address the crowd. He didn't really like my friends, either. What would he do now? He lifted his eyes from my face and looked to where several guardians were stationed in the audience, ready for any action. He gave a curt nod.
Take Lady Azera and more. We'll question them.
Seeing as Tasha was seated amidst other people, there was a bit of fear and panic when four guardians moved toward her. They avoided injuring other audience members as much as possible, but there was still plenty of pushing and shoving. What came as a total surprise was how fiercely Tasha fought back. She was trained, I remembered, not in the same way guardians were, but enough to make it hard to get a hold of her. She could kick and punch. And stake queens, and even managed to knock one guardian down. She might actually try to fight her way out of here, I realized, though I didn't believe for an instant she could. It was too crowded and chaotic. Guardians were heading toward the fray. Terrified Moroi were trying to get away from the fight. Everybody seemed to be getting in everyone else's way. Suddenly, a loud crack echoed through the room. A gunshot. Most of the Moroi dropped to the floor, though guardians kept coming. Holding a handgun she must have seized from the guardian she'd knocked over, Tasha grabbed the first Moroi she could with her free hand. So help me, it was Mia Rinaldi. She'd been sitting near Christian. I didn't think Tasha even noticed her hostage choice.
Don't move!
Tasha yelled at the encroaching guardians. The gun was at Mia's head, and I felt my heart stop. How had things escalated to this point? I'd never foreseen this. My task was supposed to be neat and tidy. Reveal Tasha, put her away, done. The guardians froze, less because of her command and more because they were sizing up how to deal with the total threat. Meanwhile, Tasha began to slowly, very slowly, make her way toward the exit, dragging Mia along. Her progress was slow and unwieldy, thanks to all the chairs and people in the way. The delay gave the guardians time to solve this ugly dilemma. They come first. Mia's life, a Moroi life, was on the line. The guardians didn't want Mia killed, but a gun-toting warrior Moroi also couldn't be allowed to go free. The thing was, Tasha wasn't the only warrior Moroi in the room. She had probably picked the worst hostage possible, and I could tell by the glint in Mia's eyes that she was not going to go quietly. Lissa realized this, too. One or both of them were going to get killed, and Lissa couldn't let that happen. If she could get Tasha to look at her, she could compel her into submission. No, 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 I thought. I didn't need another friend involved. Both Lyssa and I saw Mia tensing to break her way out of Tasha's hold. Lyssa realized she had to act now. I could feel it through the bond. I could feel her thoughts, the decision, even the way her body's muscles and nerves moved forward to get Tasha's attention. I felt it all so clearly, as if we shared the same body. I knew where Lyssa would move before she even did. Tasha, please don't! Lyssa sprang forward, her plaintive cry interrupted as Mia kicked back at Tasha and broke away, slipping down out of the gun's reach. Tasha, startled on two fronts, still had her gun pointed out. With Mia out of her grasp and everything happening so fast, Tasha frantically fired off a couple shots at the first threat moving toward her, which wasn't the rapidly approaching guardians. It was a slim figure in white who had shouted at Tasha. Or, well, it would have been. Like I said, I'd known exactly where Lyssa would step and what she would do. And in those precious seconds before she acted, I broke out of my captor's hold and threw myself before Lyssa. Someone leapt after me, but they were too late. That was when Tasha's gun had gone off. I felt a biting and burning in my chest, and then there was nothing but pain. A pain so complete and so intense it was almost beyond comprehension. I felt myself falling, felt Lyssa catching me and yelling something, maybe to me, maybe to someone else. There was so much commotion in the room that I didn't know what had happened with Tasha. There was just me and the pain that my mind was trying to block out. The world seemed to grow quieter and quieter. I saw Lyssa looking down on me, shouting something I couldn't hear. She was beautiful, brilliant, crowned in light, but there was darkness closing in around her. And in that darkness, I saw the faces, the ghosts and spirits that constantly followed me. Thicker they grew, closing in, beckoning. A gun. I had been brought down by a gun. It was practically comical. Cheaters, I thought. I'd spent my life focusing on hand-to-hand combat, learning to dodge fangs and powerful hands that could snap my neck. A gun? It was so, well, easy. Should I be insulted? I didn't know. Did it matter? I didn't know that either. All I knew in that moment was that I was going to die, regardless. My vision was growing dimmer, the blackness and ghosts closing in, and I swore it was like I could hear Robert whispering in my ear, "The world of the dead won't give you up a second time." Just before the light completely vanished, I saw Dimitri's face join Lyssa's. I wanted to smile. I decided then that if the two people I loved most were safe, I could leave this world. The dead could finally have me. And I'd fulfilled my purpose, right? To protect? I'd done it. I'd saved Lyssa, just like I'd sworn I'd always do. I was dying in battle. No appointment books for me. Lyssa's face shone with tears, and I hoped that mine conveyed how much I loved her. With the last spark of life I had left, I tried to speak, tried to let Dimitri know I loved him too and that he had to protect her now. I don't think he understood, but the words of the Guardian mantra were my last conscious thought. They come first. Chapter 34. I didn't wake up in the world of the dead. I didn't even wake up in a hospital or some other type of medical center, which, believe me, I'd done plenty of times. No, I woke up in luxury, in a huge bedroom with gilded furniture. Heaven? Probably not with my behaviors. My canopied bed had a red and gold velvet comforter, thick enough to be a mattress itself. Candles flickered on a small table against the far wall and filled the room with a scent of jasmine. I had no clue where I was or how I'd gotten here, but as my last memories of pain and darkness played out in my mind, I decided the fact that I was actually breathing was good enough.
Sleeping Beauty awakens.
That voice. That wonderful, honey-like voice with its soft accent. It enveloped me. And with it came the impossible truth and its full impact. I was alive. I was alive! And Dimitri was here. I couldn't see him but felt a smile come to my lips. Are you my nurse? I heard him get up from a chair and walk over. Seeing him stand over me like that reminded me of just how tall he truly was. He looked down at me with a smile of his own. One of those full and rare smiles. He had cleaned up since last I'd seen him. His brown hair tied neatly back behind his neck. Though he hadn't shaved for a couple days. I tried to sit up, but he tissed me back.
No, no, you need to lie down.
Soreness in my chest told me he was right. My mind might be awake, but the rest of me was exhausted. I had no idea how much time had passed, but something told me my body had been fighting a battle. Not with a Strigoi or anything like one, but with itself. A battle to stay alive. Then come closer, I told him. I want to see you. He considered this a moment and then kicked off his shoes. Turning on my side, which made me wince, I managed to wiggle over a little to make room near the bed's edge. He curled up beside me. Our faces rested on the same pillow, only a couple of inches apart as we gazed at each other.
Is this better?
He asked. Much. With his long, graceful fingers, he reached out and brushed hair from my face before tracing the edge of my cheekbone.
How are you?
Hungry. He laughed softly and cautiously slid his hand down to rest on my lower back in a sort of half-embrace.
Of course you are. I think they've only managed to get broth into you so far. Well, that and IV fluids early on. You're probably in sugar withdrawal.
I cringed. I didn't like needles or tubes and was glad I hadn't been awake to see them. Tattoo needles were a different matter. How long have I been out?
A few days.
A few days? I shivered, and he tugged the covers higher on me, thinking I was cold. I shouldn't be alive, I whispered. Gunshots like that? They were too fast, too close to my heart. Or in my heart. I put my hand to my chest. I didn't know precisely where I'd been hit. It all ached. Oh, Lord, Lyssa healed me, didn't she? It would have taken so much spirit. She shouldn't have done that. She couldn't afford to, except, why would I still feel pain? If she'd healed me, she would have gone all the way.
No, she didn't heal you.
No? I frowned, unable to process that. How else would I have survived? A surprising answer came to mind. Then, Adrian? He'd never, after how I treated him. No, he couldn't have.
What, you think he'd let you die?
I didn't answer. The bullets might be long gone, but thinking of Adrian still made my heart, figuratively, ache.
No matter how he feels.
Dimitri hesitated. This was a delicate topic after all.
Well, he wouldn't have let you die. He wanted to heal you, but he didn't either.
I felt bad for thinking so little of Adrian. Dimitri was right. Adrian never would have abandoned me out of spite. But I was rapidly running out of options here. Then who? Sonia?
No one, he said simply. Well, you, I suppose.
What?
People can heal without magic now and then, Rose.
There was amusement in his voice, though his face stayed sober.
And your wounds, they were bad. No one thought you'd survive. You went into surgery, and then we all just waited.
But why? I felt very arrogant, asking the next question. Why didn't Adrian or Lissa heal me?
Oh, they wanted to, believe me. But in the aftermath, in the chaos, the court went under lockdown. They were both taken away and put under heavy protection before they could act. No one would let them near you. Not when they still thought you might be a murderer. They had to be certain about Tasha first, even though her own actions were pretty damning.
It took me a moment to get past the idea that modern medicine and my body's own stamina had healed me. I'd grown too used to spirit. This didn't seem possible. As I tried to wrap my mind around the concept, the rest of Dimitri's meaning hit me. Is Tasha still alive? His face fell even more.
Yes. They caught her right after she shot you, before anyone else got hurt. She's detained, and more evidence has been coming in.
Calling her out was one of the hardest things I've ever done, I said. Fighting Strigoi was easier than that.
I know. It was hard for me to see. Hard for me to believe.
There was a far-off look in his eyes, reminding me that Dimitri had known her longer than he'd known me.
But she made her choices, and all the charges against you have been dropped. You're a free woman now. More than that, a hero. Abe's bragging that it's all he's doing.
That brought my smile back. Of course he is. I'll probably get a bill from him soon. I felt dizzy with both joy and astonishment. A free woman. I'd been burdened with accusations and a death sentence for what felt like years. And now? Now it had all disappeared. Dimitri laughed, and I wanted to stay like this forever. Just the two of us, sweet and unguarded. Well, maybe not exactly this. I could have done without the pain and thick bandages I felt on my chest. He and I had had so few times alone. Moments when we could really relax and openly acknowledge being in love. Things had only begun to mend between us at the end there. And it had almost been too late. It might still be. So what now? I asked.
I'm not sure.
He rested his cheek against my forehead.
I'm just so glad you're alive. I've been so close to losing you so many times. When I saw you on the floor, and there was so much commotion and confusion, I felt so helpless. I realized you were right. We waste our lives with guilt and self-loathing. When you looked at me there at the end, I saw it. You did love me.
You doubted? I meant the words jokingly, but they came out sounding offended. Maybe I was a little. I told him I loved him plenty of times.
No, I mean, I knew then that you didn't just love me. I realized you really had forgiven me.
There was nothing to forgive, not really. I told him that before, too.
I've always believed there was.
He pulled back and looked at me again.
And that's what was holding me back. No matter what you said, I just couldn't believe it. Couldn't believe you would forgive all the things I did to you in Siberia, and after Lisa healed me. I thought you were deluding yourself.
Well, it wouldn't be the first time I've done that. But no, this time I wasn't.
I know. And with that revelation, in that split second that I knew you forgave me and that I really had your love, I was finally able to forgive myself too. All those burdens, those ties to the past, they went away. It was like
being free. Flying?
Yes, except it came too late. This sounds crazy, but while I was looking down at you, having all these thoughts coming together in my head, It was like I could see Death's hand reaching for you. And there was nothing I could do. I was powerless. I couldn't help.
You did, I told him. The last things I saw before blacking out were you and Lyssa. Well, besides the skeletal faces, but mentioning that would have killed this romantic moment. I don't know how I survived getting shot, how I beat the odds. But I'm pretty sure your love, both of you, gave me the strength to fight through. I had to get back to you guys. God only knows what trouble you'd get into without me. Dimitri had no words for that, and answered instead by bringing his mouth to mine. We kissed, lightly at first, and the sweetness of the moment overpowered any pain I felt. The intensity had just barely picked up when he pulled away.
Hey, what gives?
I asked.
You're still recovering, he chastised. You might think you're back to normal, but you aren't.
This is normal for me. And you know, I thought with all this freedom and self-discovery and expression of our love stuff that we could finally stop with the whole Zen master wisdom and practical advice crap. This got me an outright grin.
Rosa, that's not going to happen. Take it or leave it.
I pressed a kiss to his lips. If it means getting you, I'll take it. I wanted to kiss him again and prove who really did have greater self-control, but that damned thing called reality set in. Dimitri, for real, what happens to us?
Life, he said easily. It goes on. We go on. We're guardians. We protect and maybe change our world.
No pressure, I remarked. But what's the we and guardians part? I was pretty sure we were out of that career path. He cupped my face, and I thought he might try another kiss. I hoped he would.
Along with our pardons, we received our guardian status again.
Even you? They believe you're not a Strigoi? I exclaimed. He nodded. Huh. Even if I got my name cleared, my ideal future is that we'd get filing jobs near each other. Dimitri moved closer to me, his eyes sparkling with a secret.
It gets better. You're Lisa's guardian.
What? I almost pulled away. That's impossible. They'd never...
They did. She'll have others. So they probably figured it was okay to let you hang around if someone else could keep you in line, he teased.
You're not... A lump formed in my stomach, a reminder of a problem that had plagued us so long ago. You're not one of her guardians too, are you? It had always been a concern, that conflict of interest. I wanted him near me, always. But how could we watch Lyssa and put her safety first if we were worried about each other? The past was returning to torment us.
No, I have a different assignment.
Oh. For some reason that made me a little sad too, even though I knew it was the smarter choice.
I'm Christian's guardian.
This time I did sit up, doctor's orders or no. Stitches tugged at my chest, but I ignored the sharp discomfort. But that's practically the same thing. Dimitri sat up too and seemed to be enjoying my shock, which was really kind of cruel, seeing as I'd almost died and everything.
A little, but they won't be together every moment, especially with her going to Lehigh. He's not going, but they'll keep coming back to each other. And when they do, so will we. It's a good mix. Besides,
he grew serious again.
I think you've proved to everyone that you're willing to put her life first.
I shook my head. Yeah, but no one was shooting at you, only her. I said it lightly, but it did make me wonder, what would I do if they were both in trouble?
Trust him?
A voice in my head said. Trust him to take care of himself. He'll do the same for you. I eyed Dimitri, recalling a shadow in my periphery back in the ballroom. You followed when I jumped in front of Lissa, didn't you? Who were you going for? Me or her? He studied me for several long seconds. He could have lied. He could have given the easy answer by saying he'd intended to push both of us out of the way, if that was even possible, which I didn't recall. But Dimitri didn't lie.
I don't know, Rosa. I don't know.
I sighed. This isn't going to be easy.
It never is, he said, pulling me into his arms.
I leaned against his chest and closed my eyes. No, it wouldn't be easy, but it would be worth it. As long as we were together, it would be worth it. We sat like that for a long time, until a discreet knock at the half-open door broke us apart. Lissa stood in the doorway. Sorry, she said, her face shining with joy when she saw me. Should have put a sock on the door. Didn't realize things were getting hot and heavy. No avoiding it, I said lightly, clasping Dimitri's hands. Things are always hot with him around. Dimitri looked scandalized. He'd never held back when we were in bed together, but his private nature wouldn't let him even hint about such matters to others. It was mean, but I laughed and kissed his cheek. Oh, this is going to be fun, I said, now that everything's out in the open.
Yeah, he said. I got a pretty fun look from your father the other day.
He gave Lissa a quick, knowing glance and then stood up. Leaning down, he kissed the top of my head.
I should go and let you two talk.
Will you be back? I asked as he moved to the door. He paused and smiled at me, and those dark eyes answered my questions and so much more.
Of course.
Lissa took his spot, sitting on the bed's edge. She hugged me gingerly, no doubt worried about my injuries. She then scolded me for sitting up, but I didn't care. Happiness surged through me. I was so glad she was okay, so relieved, and I had no idea how she felt. The bond was gone. And not like during the jail escape, when she'd put the wall up. There was simply nothing there between us. I was with myself, completely and utterly alone, just as I had been years ago. My eyes widened, and she laughed. I wondered when you'd notice, she said. How is this possible? I was frozen and numb. The bond was gone. I felt like my arm had been amputated. And how do you know? She frowned. Part of it's instinct, but Adrian saw it, that our auras aren't connected anymore. But how? How could that happen? I sounded crazy and desperate. The bond couldn't be gone. It couldn't. I'm not entirely sure, she admitted, her frown deepening. I talked about it a lot with Sonia and, Adrian. We think when I brought you back the first time, it was spirit alone that held you back from the land of the dead and that kept you tied to me. This time, you nearly died again. Or maybe you did for a moment. Only you and your body fought your way back. It was you who got out, with no help from spirit. And once that happened, she shrugged. Like I said, we're only guessing. But Sonia thinks once your own strength broke you away, you didn't need any help being pulled back from death. You did it on your own. And when you freed yourself of spirit, you freed yourself from me. You didn't need a bond to keep you with the living. It was crazy. Impossible. But if you're saying I escaped the land of the dead, I'm not like immortal or anything, am I? Lissa laughed again. No, we're certain of that. Sonia explained it, saying anything alive can die. And as long as you've got an aura, you're alive. Strigoi are immortal, but not alive. So they don't have auras, and...
The world spun.
I'll take your word for it. I think maybe I do need to lie down. That's probably a good idea.
I gently eased myself onto my back, desperately needing distraction from what I'd just learned, because it was still too surreal, still impossible to process. I eyed my surroundings. The lush room was bigger than I'd previously realized. It kept going and going, branching into other rooms. It was a suite. Maybe an apartment. I could just make out a living room with leather furniture and a flat-screen TV.
Where are we?
In palace housing, she replied.
Palace housing? How'd we end up here?
How do you think?
She asked dryly.
I couldn't work my mouth for a moment. I needed no bond to realize what had happened. Another impossibility had occurred while I'd been out of it.
Crap. They had the election, didn't they? They elected you queen, once Jill was there to stand in for your family.
She shook her head and almost laughed.
My reaction was a little stronger than crap, Rose. Do you have any idea what you've done?
She looked anxious, stressed, and totally overwhelmed. I wanted to be serious and comforting for her sake, but I could feel a goofy grin spreading over my face. She groaned.
You're happy. Liz, you were meant for this. You're better than any of the other candidates.
Rose, she cried. Running for queen was supposed to be a diversion. I'm only 18.
So is Alexandra.
Lissa shook her head in exasperation.
I'm so sick of hearing about her. She lived centuries ago, you know. I think people died when they were 30 back then, so she was practically middle-aged.
I caught hold of her hand.
You're going to be great. It doesn't matter how old you are. And it's not like you have to call meetings and analyze law books all on your own, you know.
I mean, I'm sure not going to do any of that. But there are other smart people. Ariana Zelsky didn't make the last test, but you know she'll help if you ask her to. She's still on the council, and there are others you can rely on. We just have to find them. I believe in you.
Lissa sighed and looked down, her hair hanging forward in a curtain.
I know. And part of me is excited, like this will restore my family's honor. I think that's what saved me from a total breakdown. I didn't want to be queen, but if I have to, then I'm going to do it right. I feel like I have the world at my fingertips, like I can do so much good, but I'm so afraid of messing up, too.
She looked up sharply. And I'm not giving up on the rest of my life, either. I guess I'm going to be the first queen in college.
Cool, I said. You can IM with the council from campus. Maybe you can command people to do your homework.
She apparently didn't think the joke was as funny as I did.
Going back to my family, Rose, how long did you know about Jill?
Damn, I'd known this part of the conversation would eventually be coming. I averted my eyes.
Not really that long. We didn't want to stress you until we knew it was real, I added hastily. I can't believe...
She shook her head.
I just can't believe it.
I had to go on her tone, not the bond. It was so strange, like losing one of my key senses, sight, hearing.
Are you upset? Of course I am. How can you be surprised?
I figured you'd be happy.
Happy to find out my dad cheated on my mom? Happy to have a sister I hardly know? I've tried to talk to her, but...
Lissa sighed again.
It's so weird. Almost weirder than suddenly being queen. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to think of my father. And I sure as hell don't know what to do with her.
Love them both, I said softly. They're your family.
Jill's great, you know. Get to know her, be excited. I don't know if I can. I think you're more of a sister to me than she'll ever be.
Lissa stared off at nothing.
And of all people, I was convinced for so long that there was something going on between her and Christian.
Well, out of all the worries in the world, that's one you can let go because it's not true. But within her comment was something dark and sad. How is Christian? She turned back to me, her eyes full of pain.
He's having a hard time. I am too. He visits her, Tasha. He hates what she did, but, well, she's still his family. It hurts him, but he tries to hide it. You know how he is.
Yeah. Christian had spent a good portion of his life masking dark feelings with snark and sarcasm. He was a pro at fooling others about how he truly felt.
I know he'll be better in time. I just hope I can be there for him enough. So much is happening. College, being queen, and always, always their spirit there, pressing down on me, smothering me.
Alarm shot through me, and panic. Panic over something far worse than not knowing what Lissa was feeling or where she was. Spirit. I was afraid of spirit, and the fact that I couldn't fight it for her. The darkness. I can't absorb it anymore. What will we do? A twisted smile crossed her lips.
You mean, what will I do? It's my problem now, Rose. Like it always should have been.
But no, you can't. St. Vladimir isn't me. And you can protect me from some things, but not all. I shook my head.
No, I can't let you face spirit alone. I'm not exactly alone. I talked to Sonya. She's really good at healing charms and thinks there's a way to keep myself in balance.
Oksana said the same thing, I recalled, hardly feeling reassured.
And there's always the antidepressants. I don't like them, but I'm queen now. I have responsibilities. I'll do what I have to. A queen gives up everything, right?
I guess. I couldn't help feeling frightened. Useless.
I'm just so worried about you, and I don't know how to help you anymore. I told you, you don't have to. I'll protect my mind. Your job's to protect my body, right? And Dimitri will be around too. It'll all be okay.
The conversation with Dimitri came back to me.
Who were you going for? Me or her?
I gave her the best smile I could.
Yeah, it'll all be okay.
Her hand squeezed mine.
I'm so glad you're back, Rose. You'll always be part of me, no matter what. And honestly, I'm kind of glad you can't see my sex life anymore.
That makes two of us. I laughed. No bond. No magical attachment. It was going to be so strange. But really, did I need it? In real life, people formed bonds of another nature. Bonds of love and loyalty. We would get through this.
I'll always be there for you, you know? Anything you need. I know, she said. And actually, I need you for something now.
Name it, I said. She did. Chapter 35. I wished Lissa had needed me to go take out an army of Strigoi. I would have felt more comfortable with that than what she needed me to do now. Meet with Jill to discuss the coronation. Lissa wanted me there for support, as a kind of go-between. I wasn't able to walk that well yet, so we waited another day. Lissa seemed glad for the delay. Jill was waiting for us in a small room I'd never expected to see again, the parlor where Tatiana had berated me for moving in on Adrian.
It had been a pretty bizarre experience at the time, seeing as Adrian and I hadn't actually been involved back then. Now, after everything that had occurred between him and me, it just felt strange. Confusing. I still didn't know what had happened to him since Tasha's arrest. Walking in there, I also felt terribly alone. No, not alone. Uninformed. Vulnerable. Jill sat in a chair, her hands folded in her lap. She stared straight ahead with an unreadable face. Beside me, Lissa's own features were equally blank. She felt... well, that was the thing. I didn't know. I didn't know. I mean, I could tell she was uncomfortable, but there were no thoughts in my head to tip me off. I had no specifics. Again, I reminded myself that the rest of the world worked like this. You functioned alone. You did your best to manage strange situations without the magical insight of another person. I'd never realized how much I'd taken the thoughts of even just one other person for granted. The one thing I felt sure of was that both Lissa and Jill were freaked out by each other, but not by me. That was why I was here. "Hey, Jill," I said, smiling. "How are you?" She snapped out of whatever thoughts had been occupying her and jumped up from the chair. I thought that was strange, but then it made sense. "Lissa, you rose when a queen entered the room."
"It's okay," said Lissa, stumbling over her words a little. "Sit."
She took a seat opposite Jill. It was the biggest chair in the room, the one Tatiana had always sat in. Jill hesitated a moment, then shifted her gaze back to me. I must have provided some encouragement because she returned to her chair. I sat in one beside Lissa, wincing as a small pain tightened in my chest. Worry for me momentarily distracted Jill from Lissa.
"How are you feeling? Are you okay? Should you even be out of bed?"
The cute rambling nature. I was glad to see it again.
"Fine,"
I lied. "Good as new."
"I was worried when I saw what happened. I mean, there was so much blood and so much craziness and no one knew if you'd pull through."
Jill frowned.
"I don't know. It was all so scary. I'm so glad you're okay."
I kept smiling, hoping to reassure her. Silence fell then. The room grew tense. In political situations, Lissa was the expert, always able to smooth everything over with the right words. I was the one who spoke up in uncomfortable scenarios, saying the things that shocked others. The things no one wanted to hear. This situation seemed like one that required her diplomacy. But I knew it was on me to take charge.
"Jill," I said, "we wanted to know if you'd be willing to, well, take part in the coronation ceremony."
Jill's eyes flicked briefly to Lissa, still stone-faced, and then back to me.
"What does take part mean, exactly? What would I have to do?"
"Nothing hard," I assured her. "It's just some formalities that are usually done by family members, ceremonial stuff, like you did with the vote." I hadn't witnessed that, but Jill had apparently only had to stand by Lissa's side to show family strength. Such a small thing for a law to hinge on.
"Mostly it's about being on display and putting on a good face."
"Well," mused Jill,
"I've been doing that for most of this week."
"I've been doing it for most of my life," said Lissa. Jill looked startled. Again, I felt at a loss without the bond. Lissa's tone hadn't made her meaning clear. Was it a challenge to Jill? That the girl hadn't faced nearly what Lissa had? Or was it supposed to be sympathy for Jill's lack of experience?
You'll get used to it," I said.
"Over time." Jill shook her head, a small and bitter smile on her face.
"I don't know about that."
I didn't either. I wasn't sure how one handled the kind of situation she'd been dropped into.
My mind rapidly ran through a list of more meaningless kind things I could say, but Lissa finally took over.
I know how weird this is, she said.
She determinedly met Jill's green eyes. The only feature the sisters shared, I decided. Jill had the makings of a future Emily. Lissa carried a mix of her parents' traits.
This is weird for me, too. I don't know what to do.
What do you want? Asked Jill quietly. I heard the real question. Jill wanted to know if Lissa wanted her. Lissa had been devastated by the death of her brother, but a surprise illegitimate sibling was no substitute for Andre. I tried to imagine what it would be like to be in either girl's place. I tried and failed.
I don't know, admitted Lissa. I don't know what I want.
Jill nodded, dropping her gaze, but not before I caught sight of the emotion playing across her face. Disappointment. Yet Lissa's answer hadn't entirely been unexpected. Jill asked the next best thing.
Do you want me to be in the ceremonies?
The question hung in the air. It was a good one. It was the reason we'd come here. But did Lissa actually want this? Studying her, I still wasn't sure. I didn't know if she was just following protocol, trying to get Jill to play a role expected among royalty. In this case, there was no law that said Jill had to do anything. She simply had to exist.
Yes,
said Lissa at last. I heard the truth in her words, and something inside of me lightened. Lissa didn't just want Jill for the sake of image. A part of Lissa wanted Jill in her life, but managing that would be difficult. Still, it was a start, and Jill seemed to recognize that.
Okay, she said. Just tell me what I need to do.
It occurred to me that Jill's youth and nervousness were deceptive. There were sparks of bravery and boldness within her, sparks that I felt certain would grow. She really was a Dragomir. Lissa looked relieved, but I think it was because she'd made a tiny step of progress with her sister. It had nothing to do with the coronation.
Someone else will explain it all. I'm not really sure what you do, to be honest. But Rose is right, it won't be hard.
Jill simply nodded.
Thank you,
said Lissa. She stood up and both Jill and I rose with her.
I really appreciate it.
That awkwardness returned as the three of us stood there. It would have been a good moment for the sisters to hug, but even though both seemed pleased at their progress, neither was ready for that. When Lissa looked at Jill, she still saw her father with another woman. When Jill looked at Lissa, she saw her life completely turned upside down. A life once shy and private now out there for the world to gawk at. I couldn't change her fate, but hugging I could do. Heedless of my stitches, I put my arms around the young girl.
Thanks, I said, echoing Lissa. This'll all be okay. You'll see.
Jill nodded yet again, and with no more to discuss, Lissa and I moved toward the door. Jill's voice brought us to a halt.
Hey, what happens after the coronation? To me. To us.
I glanced at Lissa. Another good question. Lissa turned toward Jill but still wasn't making direct eye contact.
We'll get to know each other. Things will get better.
The smile that appeared on Jill's face was genuine. Small, but genuine.
Okay, she said. There was hope in that smile, too.
Hope and relief.
I'd like that.
As for me, I had to hide a frown. I apparently could function without the bond because I could tell, with absolute confidence, that Lissa wasn't exactly giving the whole truth. What wasn't she telling Jill? Lissa did want things to be better, I was certain, even if she wasn't sure how. But there was something small that Lissa wasn't revealing to either of us. something that made me think Lyssa didn't actually believe things would improve. Out of nowhere, a strange echo from Victor Dashkov rang through my mind about Jill. If she has any sense, Vasilisa will send her away. I didn't know why I remembered that, but it sent a chill through me. The sisters were both mustering smiles, and I hastily did as well, not wanting either to know my concerns. Lyssa and I left after that, heading back toward my room. My little outing had been more tiring than I expected, and as much as I hated to admit it, I couldn't wait to lie down again. When we reached my room, I still hadn't decided if I should ask Lyssa about Jill or wait to get Dimitri's opinion. The decision was taken from me when we found an unexpected visitor waiting. Adrian. He sat on my bed, head tipped back as though he was completely consumed by studying the ceiling. I knew better. He'd known the instant we approached, or at least when Lyssa approached. We stopped in the doorway, and he finally turned toward us. He looked like he hadn't slept in a while. Dark shadows hung under his eyes, and his cute face was hardened with lines of fatigue. Whether it was mental or physical fatigue, I couldn't say. Nonetheless, his lazy smile was the same as ever.
"Your Majesty,"
he said grandly.
"Stop," scoffed Lyssa. "You should know better."
"I've never known better," he countered. "You should know that."
I saw Lyssa start to smile, then she glanced at me and grew serious, realizing this was hardly let's have fun with Adrian time.
"Well,"
she said uneasily, not looking very queenly at all,
"I've got some things to do."
She was going to bolt, I realized. I'd gone with her for her family chat, but she was going to abandon me now. Just as well, though. This conversation with Adrian had been inevitable, and I'd brought it on myself. I had to finish this on my own, just as I told Dimitri.
"I'm sure you do," I said.
Her face turned hesitant, as though she was suddenly reconsidering. She felt guilty. She was worried about me and wanted to stand by me. I lightly touched her arm. "It's okay, Lys. I'll be okay. Go." She squeezed my hand in return, her eyes wishing me good luck. She told Adrian goodbye and left, closing the door behind her. It was just him and me now. He stayed on my bed, watching me carefully. He still wore the smile he'd given Lyssa, like this was no big deal. I knew otherwise and made no attempts to hide my feelings. Standing still made me tired, so I sat down in a nearby chair, nervously wondering what to say.
"Adrian..."
"Let's start with this, little Dampier,"
he said cordially.
"Was it going on before you left court?"
It took me a moment to follow that abrupt Adrian conversation format. He was asking if Dimitri and I had gotten back together before my arrest. I shook my head slowly. "No. I was with you. Just you." True, I'd been a mess of emotions, but my intentions had been firm.
"Well, that's something,"
he said. Some of his pleasantness was starting to slip. I smelled it then, ever so faintly. Alcohol and smoke.
"Better some rekindling of sparks in the heat of battle or quest than you cheating right in front of me."
I shook my head more urgently now. "No, I swear, I didn't. Nothing happened then. Not until..." I hesitated on how to phrase my next words.
"Later,"
he guessed.
"Which makes it okay?"
"No, of course not. I..." Damn it. I'd screwed up. Just because I hadn't cheated on Adrian at court didn't mean that I hadn't cheated on him later. You could phrase it however you wanted, but let's face it, sleeping with another guy in a hotel room was pretty much cheating if you had a boyfriend. It didn't matter if that guy was the love of your life or not.
"I'm sorry," I said.
It was the simplest and most appropriate thing I could say. I'm sorry. What I did was wrong. I didn't mean for it to happen. I really thought he and I were done. I was with you. I wanted to be with you. And then I realized that...
No, stop.
Adrian held up a hand, his voice tight now as his cool facade continued to crumble.
I really do not want to hear about the great revelation you had about how you guys were always meant to be together, whatever it was.
I stayed silent because, well, that kind of had been my revelation. Adrian ran a hand through his hair.
Really, it's my fault. It was there, 100 times there. How often did I see it? I knew. It kept happening, over and over. You'd say you were through with him, and over, I'd believe it. No matter what my eyes showed me, no matter what my heart told me, my fault.
It was that slightly unhinged rambling, not that nervous kind of Jill's, but the unstable kind that worried me about how close he was getting to the edge of insanity. An edge I might very well be pushing him toward. I wanted to go over to him, but had the sense to stay seated. Adrian,
I loved you!
He yelled. He jumped up out of his chair so quickly I never saw it coming.
I loved you, and you destroyed me! You took my heart and ripped it up! You might as well have staked me!
The change in his features also caught me by surprise. His voice filled the room. So much grief, so much anger. So unlike the usual Adrian. He strode toward me, hand clasped over his chest.
I loved you. And you used me the whole time.
No, it's not true. I wasn't afraid of Adrian, but in the face of that emotion, I found myself cringing.
I wasn't using you. I loved you. I still do, but...
He looked disgusted.
Rose, come on.
I mean it. I do love you.
Now I stood up, pain or no, trying to look him in the eye.
I always will.
But we're not... I don't think we work as a couple.
That's a bullshit breakup line, and you know it.
He was kind of right. But I thought back to moments with Dimitri. How well we worked in sync. How he always seemed to get exactly what I felt. I meant what I'd said. I did love Adrian. He was wonderful in spite of all his flaws. Because really, who didn't have flaws? He and I had fun together. There was affection, but we weren't matched in the way Dimitri and I were. I'm not the one for you, I said weakly.
Because you're with another guy?
No, Adrian. Because I don't know. I was fumbling badly. I didn't know how to explain what I felt. How you could care about someone and love hanging out with them, but still not work as a couple. I don't balance you like you need.
What the hell does that mean?
He exclaimed. My heart ached for him, and I was so sorry for what I'd done. But this was the truth of it all. The fact that you have to ask says it all. When you find that person, you'll know. I didn't add that with his history, he'd probably have a number of false starts before finding that person. And I know this sounds like another bullshit breakup line, but I really would like to be your friend. He stared at me for several heavy seconds and then laughed, though there wasn't much humor in it.
You know what's great? You're serious. Look at your face.
He gestured as though I actually could examine myself.
You really think it's that easy? That I can sit here and watch your happy ending? That I can watch you getting everything you want as you lead your charmed life? Charmed?
The guilt and sympathy warring within me got a little kick of anger.
Hardly.
Do you know what I've gone through in the last year? I'd watched Mason die, fought in the St. Vladimir's attack, been